You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it's The Political Junkie with Ken Root. Ken and his guests look at the high and low points of this week's Democratic National Convention.
First, a Wisconsin school board is reconsidering its decision to have police officers in schools. The Madison Metropolitan School District has a 3-year contract with the city's police department to have police officers in some high schools.
There have been, though, some cases that have caused parents and board members to question whether officers are using too much force on students. That includes the mother of an autistic high school girl who told the Capital Times that her daughter was arrested by a school police officer when she should have been helped with the anxiety she was having over attending a class.
Police officers in schools are also known as school resource officers, or SROs, and the Madison School District is part of a larger national conversation about the role SROs should have in schools. Last October, a Justice Department investigation was launched after a viral video showed an African-American high school girl being violently arrested by a school police officer in South Carolina.
Joining us now to tell us more about some of the arguments around police officers in schools is Jason Nance. He's an associate professor of law and associate director of the Center on Children and Families at the University of Florida Levin College of Law. He's written about this issue. Jason, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be on the program.
First of all, how common is it for schools to have a police officer, one of these school resource officers, on the premises?
I think it's becoming more common, and so the first police officer that was permanently assigned to a school was in the 1950s. That happened to be in Flint, Michigan, and since that time, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of police officers that are assigned to schools. In the late 1970s, there were probably fewer than 100 in police or in public schools. And we have data that suggests that in 1997, that number increased to around 12,300. In 2003, it increased even further to 19,900. And it's not clear exactly how many police officers are in school at the moment, but the U.S. Department of Education's National Center for Education Statistics estimates that there could be as many as 30,000 SROs in the year of 2013 or 2014.
What was the original purpose behind stationing police officers in a school?
I think that the original purpose was probably to provide a more of a proactive approach to crime on school grounds. And so probably there to prevent crime and also to establish positive relations among members of the school community.
I want to look at the pro and con arguments here. People point to these SROs, these school resource officers, on the upside and say they make schools safer. There are cases maybe where they've prevented an act of violence. A gun is reported in possession of a student. They're able to intervene quickly. What kind of positives do you see out there when it comes to these officers in schools?
Yeah, so Rob, I think that you mentioned a couple of those. And so one argument that is commonly made is that it does, having school resource officers makes campuses safer. However, there are some questions about that. And so for example, there's a recent congressional research report that, after reading the evidence, says that it draws conflicting evidence about whether these SRO programs actually make schools safer. So it's not very clear. There's not very good evidence to suggest that it does, you know, that having these SROs makes schools safer. So we have that argument, of course. And then the other argument would be is that it does, at least the proponents would argue, that having SROs would increase or build positive relations among the students. And so, as we know, trust right now is particularly strained between police and certain members of the community, especially those of the minority race, and the hope is that by having SROs and having an active presence on campus and as they act positively with these students, that perhaps that will carry over as children become adults. So those are some of the positives, I think, that people suggest.
I'm talking to Jason Nance from the University of Florida School of Law, looking at police in classrooms, police in public schools. And let's look at what people are pointing to, Jason, as a downside here. One worry that something that used to be maybe a disciplinary incident, a fight in school, a theft in school, now might be more likely to become a criminal experience, a justice system experience for a kid.
Yeah, there's several negatives that people have suggested, and the one that you pointed out, Rob, is probably the largest, is that it contributes to this criminalization of school discipline or frequently referred to as the a trend we're seeing now, which is the school-to-prison pipeline. And when we use that term school-to-prison pipeline, that suggests this interaction between schools and law enforcement and what schools do directly to influence or put students on a pathway from school to prison, either directly by referring them to law enforcement or indirectly by suspending them or expelling them. And so the worry right now is that by having more police officers in schools is that you end up involving more students or more students become involved in the justice system. Now, I do have a recent study that will be published very soon by the Washington University Law Review in which I examine this very question. And so the name of the study is called Students, Police, and the School-to-Prison Pipeline. It's on the SSRN network. And I took a look at restricted data from the U.S. Department of Education's school survey on crime and safety. And I looked at data from 2009 and 2010, which was the most complete database that I had access to that I could examine the effect of having school resource officers in the schools and what that does to students. And what I did is I took a look at the number of incidents or the probability of a school referring a student to law enforcement for committing certain offenses. Offenses such as, fights with or without a weapon, threats with or without a weapon, vandalism, theft, and things like that. And I found that even after controlling for other variables, other things that might influence a school's decision to refer someone to law enforcement or having an SRO on campus, which would include things like the overall level of school crime, school disorder, meaning the overall school disciplinary problems the school faces. I looked at things like school level, urbanicity, student demographics, and what I found was that even after controlling or taking into account all these other variables, I found that once an SRO has a weekly presence at the school or regular contact with the school, that it is much more likely that students will be referred to law enforcement, even for these higher-level offenses, but also for these lower-level offenses, such as a threat without a weapon or something like that, or vandalism. And that can be problematic.
Some people might hear that and say, well, good, we're nipping this problem in the bud. We're bringing this to a higher level right away. That hopefully will lead that student to not repeat that action if it's brought in some police involvement. It sounds like you wouldn't buy that argument.
Well, I think that there's many different ways to think about this. And I think that, first of all, we need to hold students accountable for what they do. There's no question about that. Maybe I'll circle back to that in just a minute. But we also have to realize, I guess a couple of things. One, which is the detrimental impact that incarcerating a student has on the life of the student. And so, first of all, when you detain a student, it's very expensive. So it can cost, the average cost of detaining a juvenile for a year is about $150,000, which is well below the average cost, by the way, that schools use to educate children per year. And it can range as high as $350,000 in the state of New York.
I'm going to stop you. You said well below the cost of educating a student?
Well, sure. I mean, so I think the average cost of educating a student, or at least the average amount of money per student that the government provides, is around between $7,000 and $8,000 per year. And yet it costs around $150,000 to detain a student per year. So there's a big discrepancy there. And then once you incarcerate a student, it doesn't have a very good effect on that student. And so it affects their future housing opportunities, employment, military, education opportunities. It reinforces violent behaviors. They suffer from mental health problems. And here's, I think, very important, too, is that it doesn't serve as an adequate deterrent. And so once this we're learning from empirical research that once a student is incarcerated, that the rate of recidivism is very high. In other words, it increases his or her involvement in the justice system in the future, also less likely to graduate. So there's all of these problems associated with detaining a student. And then the second part is, and here's a question that many have, is what type of an environment is that creating in the school itself? And some people think that by removing a student, you are creating a safer environment. But there is research to suggest that when you have an overall punitive environment in the school, that that also affects the students who are uninvolved in those types of incidents as well. And so it creates some type of a climate that doesn't attract, for example, good teachers to teach there, doesn't attract middle-class students to, you know, to learn there, and it creates an overall environment that depresses student learning. So these are things to think about.
We're talking to Jason Nance. He's an associate professor of law at the University of Florida College of Law, looking at the pros and cons of having school police officers, school resource officers, or SROs, as they're often called, prompted in part by the Madison School Board reconsidering its current policy, having officers in many high schools.
And we'd like to hear from you on this. Do you or your family members go to a school with police officers? Does it make you feel safer, or do you worry that it could cause more problems than it solves? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you have experience working in or attending a school that has a police officer on the premises? Call us at 800-642-1234.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation now with law professor Jason Nance from the University of Florida, looking at the pros and cons of police officers in high schools as the Madison School District starts to take another look at its decision to have officers in high schools.
And we want to hear from you on this. Do you think that there should be a police officer in schools? Why or why not? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Have you or has a family member ever had involvement with a police officer at school, and what was that interaction like? Call us at 800-642-1234.
We'll go right to our callers. We've got Matt on the line in Fond du Lac. Matt, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Think of what?
Police officers in schools?
Oh, yeah. The police officers in schools that we deal with, I went to Madison Memorial in Madison, and we had a officer named Shannon Blackmore, and he was a really, really personal guy for one, and also just a true professional in how he handled situations, both in whether it be a big fight or a small bullying incident or like vandalism, like you guys mentioned before, handled it with grace each time and was able to handle it. Either taking it to the next level, if really necessary, but also being able to defuse situations by himself, just one-on-one as well.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. And Jason, I wonder, that points toward maybe the question isn't should we or shouldn't we have police officers in schools, but if we do, what should be the policy? Do we define their role and presence as much as we should?
Yeah, you know, I think I have two responses to that. So if we are going to have police officers in schools, and first of all, I do want to say that by no means am I saying, one, that police officers in schools are bad people, because I sincerely believe that the vast majority of police officers in schools and police officers generally are very good people, and I'm sure that they're acting in good faith much of the time. So if we are going to have police officers in schools, I would suggest two things. I would suggest, one, that we need to have a better training. And so we need to make sure the police officers are equipped to de-escalate situations, that they understand how to interact with students, for example, with learning disabilities or ADHD or autism, or to improve their ability to communicate with people who are different from them. That's extremely, extremely helpful. The second thing is that we need to make sure, if police officers do come in schools, that we have something in place called a Memorandum of Understanding, or an MOU. And this has been advocated, I think, by several different state governments as well as other government agencies. And essentially what a Memorandum of Understanding says is that it specifies when police officers are going to get involved and when they're going to stay out. And so, for example, some of these lower-level offenses, such as talking back to a teacher or refusing to give a cell phone, as we saw in South Carolina, those might be incidents that are better handled by teachers and administrators who receive more pedagogical training and are better equipped to handle those situations. Whereas if we have a situation that in which the other members of the school community, their safety might be in jeopardy, that may be a more appropriate place for the schools, school resource officers to become involved.
Matt, thanks a lot for calling. Before we go back to our callers at 800-642-1234, Jason, a lot of this, I think, might be fueled by the perception of a lack of safety at schools. We've had, of course, horrific school shootings over the years, a perception that schools, even without those mass shootings, are out of control or violent places in some districts. Is that a correct perception of the way schools are in the United States right now?
Yeah, I think that's a very acute comment that you made there, Rob. And I think that, so overall, we do know the schools are generally safe places, and that's been documented repeatedly. We also know that school crime is actually decreasing since around 1994. So I think that schools, for the most part, and that doesn't mean that there are not some dangerous schools, because I think that there are. But far and wide, I think that schools are generally safe places. What happens is when you have an incident like what happened at Columbine in the early parts of the 2000-2001 period, and then when you had what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School in December of 2012, that puts a very heinous event in the, it makes it very high profile, and we as a people and sometimes the government, we tend to overreact to those situations. And school officers or school officials and educators are put in a very difficult spot. And the reason is that they sometimes need to demonstrate to the school community, to parents and others, that they are doing something tangible in order to create safer learning environments. And so one of the ways in which they can do that is to hire a school resource officer or to install metal detectors or some of these other surveillance methods in order to tangibly demonstrate that they're doing something to address the safety problem.
Talking to Jason Nance, law professor at the University of Florida, looking at police officers in schools. Should they be there? Shouldn't they? We'll go back to our callers with Elisa in Milwaukee. Elisa, hi.
Hi, this is Elisa. The purpose of my call is I'm wondering what is the logic behind having police officers? Why wouldn't it be off-duty officers hired as security guards? Or hired as safety people, Why the need to have this criminalization of the behavior from these students? Because they are in school, so we will call them students.
Gotcha, Elisa. Your line is not great, but I think we got your point there. Jason, she's saying why official on-duty police officers if we want more security, maybe some kind of security guard, hiring off-duty officers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And first of all, Elisa, I think that we should say that there are some schools that utilize security guards that are police officers that are retired or are not sworn law enforcement officers at all. And so I think that is something that's certainly not uncommon. The reason why probably that schools want to have sworn law enforcement officers is because that these, first of all, the parents or the community members might demand that. I think that sometimes that the police agencies themselves may take a proactive approach, and they think that that's a good way to deter crime by having sometimes crimes do occur on school campuses, and that's a way in which they can be proactive about it. But the other thing is that they do have the authority to intervene in all different types of situations, and so they can arrest as a security guard could not. And I think that there are some parents and some school officials that would view that as a positive thing, even though we see some of those detrimental effects that occur to a student once they are arrested and if they are detained or incarcerated.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Gordon in Wisconsin Rapids. Gordon, hi.
Hey guys, good afternoon. Say, I'm all for having law enforcement in schools, especially high school, with high schools being a soft target for the heinous criminals that want to shoot things up just to get a name for themselves. We just had a daughter graduate from Rapids Lincoln High School, and we know the local law enforcement folks, and they're great people, and we have no trouble at all having any of them in the school system, and we have a son going in being a sophomore and another son in middle school. Had four kids graduate already. And we want our kids to be safe. And it's what taxpayers want. Taxpayers want our the kids of the future, to be safe at school.
Gordon, thanks for the call. So the community members, parents want officers in schools. So, Jason, should school boards, whatever they see in the data, should they go along with their community?
And I think that there is sort of a general perception that perhaps that they are making schools safer. And as I said before, certainly school resource officers, many of them, perhaps most of them, do a good job. Again, if we are going to have those school resource officers in place, I think that there needs to be some type of either a memorandum of understanding or something else in place that specifies that they're not going to intervene in these lower level incidents. And so if that were to happen, I think that would help resolve a lot of these problems that we're seeing overall.
Jason, as we wrap up, you started by telling us some of the statistics. Seems like more officers. Do you see a tide turning? Do you see more districts reconsidering, maybe moving away from the approach of having officers in schools?
I think that conversation is starting to take place, Rob. I think that now that there are more individuals that are discussing and talking about the school-to-prison pipeline. In fact, for the first time to my knowledge, that is part of the platform of the Democratic Party. Is they've put that into their platform of finding ways in which we can dismantle the school-to-prison pipeline. And so I think that overall, that is a trend, and that's something that we're thinking about. Now, there's different aspects of that school-to-prison pipeline. There's the suspensions and the expulsions part that people are addressing. But I think that we overall as a nation are starting to think very hard on alternative ways in which we can keep students safe rather than referring kids to law enforcement.
We'll leave it there. Jason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Jason Nance. He's an associate professor of law and associate director of the Center on Children and Families at the University of Florida Levin College of Law.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.